But I record these knuckles on the side of your face, my boy. Check that.
See, temple. I'm recording now. The people hear that. That's verbal abuse to the host. What you got to say for yourself?
It's only verbal abuse if I get called if somebody snitches on me. You know what? Start the music.
Over this now.
You are now listening to the duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. We are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Deontay Epps, I am on the mic, episode 41. Tell them what your name is, my guy. Come on, man.
Oh, my bad.
Man, you...
I had to troll you for a little bit. For the viewers and the listeners who don't know, we had some technical difficulties, but they will go unreported at this particular time. I just wanted to troll this dude for a little bit, but it's your boy, Dane B. That's an abbreviation for Dane Beasley, the other half, cooler half of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
Dane, you're such a hater, man. You're not supposed to tell the listeners we had technical difficulties.
Oh, anyways, if anybody got the coconut water plug, let them know that we're trying to get it sponsored by coconut water. So anybody out there that don't like coconut water, that's on you. You're missing out. So what if it tastes like backwashed water?
Yeah, I don't mess with coconut water, man.
It's good, man. It's natural. It's
Is it good earth. For you, though? Is it healthy?
I don't know. I drink it. But I don't drink anything
anyway,
else.
I'm Deontay. The guy talking trash to me is Dane Beasley. We are the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
It's not trash.
Before we get started, we'd just like to let you know that you can help us out by subscribing to the podcast on any digital streaming platform, as well as give your boys a review on Apple. 5 stars. Give us a good rating. We got like 38 ratings. That's good. Let's bump that up a little more, man.
39.
Support your boys. What'd you say?
I said get us to 39.
39. Yeah, I love that. Maybe even 40. Speaking of 40, Dane, this is episode 41.
41. Of the duo.
Bro, we are 40 episodes in. How does that feel? Like, when we started this, I mean, we didn't put a set, you know, number of episodes we wanted to get to, but 40? 41? That's crazy.
We have now reached the Terrence Newman age of the podcast. It's just an ugly number for a cornerback.
Why did he pick 41? Because he was like, wasn't he number 4 in college?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. But I mean, maybe there's some sentimental. Maybe there's some sentimental value behind it. But it's such an ugly number. Like, ugh. Like look. Like now. Like looking at. Oh, crazy. He's 42 years old. So this next episode is going to be the actual age of Terrence. Newman, but Cowboys fans.
So we're in the Terrence Newman era of the podcast.
Yeah, getting old.
That's so old and random and funny.
Washed and burnt. We used to call him. We used to call that fool. Me and Gavin used to call him.
Man, towards the end of his career,
Terrence Toast Newman. That's what we used to call him. Terrence Toast Newman.
I hope he doesn't just randomly. Put headphones on and be like, hey, I want to listen to the duo. Just pick this episode.
Because we're going to send it. We're going to post this episode. Then Marcus Spears is going to retweet it. And then Terrence is going to be scrolling. He'll be like, what Marcus done posted? Let me look at this. Oh, I'm going to support these brothers, man. Now, oh, one of them's from Texas. He's a Cowboys fan. He probably knows them. Oh, hell no. Man, so.
Dane, so, you know, we got a list of topics we usually put in our notes so we can kind of get a vibe of what we want to talk about. Kind of get the listeners, what can they expect, you know, coming in the show, my guy?
Well, I did not realize there's this particular note at the top of the agenda. I'm going to, of course, ignore because you've had plenty of opportunity to shout it from the rooftops.
Oh, no, I'm still going to say it, but continue.
Yeah. Anywho, we're going to talk about some things to expect for the offseason. You know, we have some not controversy. I guess you could say it's controversy about how the OTAs are going to go or how that's going to work for, you know, workouts and stuff because of COVID-19, and still don't know the long-term effects of it and how they might affect the, you know, the normal person's body, but the athlete's body. Speaking of which, you know, Jason Tatum's on an inhaler now before games. Like, I didn't know that.
Yes, I saw that, but I didn't know if it was just post-COVID,
yeah.
I think he have asthma before?
I don't think it was that bad. if he had it on, based on how the article was reading, because I only read a glimpse of, not a glimpse of, I only read like a smidget of it. I was like, dang. I mean, because I knew, you know, we know there's going to be long-term effects of it, but we just don't know what those are because they're, I mean, I guess at this point, there's verified case studies of the long-term effects of COVID-19 or having it or surviving it. I don't know. If anybody has access to that type of research data, preferably a qualitative study, hook your boys up. Well, of course, we're going to talk about the NFL rule changes. Aaron Donald had himself a nice little timeout on the town.
Okay.
Oh, we got a general homeboy 2.0, 2 weeks out from the draft.
I got a surprise for you on that one.
Oh, surprise, Sydney.
I think you're going to like it.
Okay.
And we got, I think you're going to like it.
Got some off-season news about, you know, some late signings, the NCAA transfer rule. What else? We're going to talk about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
We got two
episodes to catch up on, and I'm trying to do this whole thing without looking at my notes.
Let's save the rest for last. Let's surprise these guys and girls.
Okay.
Dane, you know I got to do it, my guy. Playing my air guitar. The Baylor Bears.
I hope whoever owns the estate of Queen, I hope they sue your black ass. No, congratulations, man. Congratulations. Congratulations.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. Don't sue. It was only 8 seconds. Hey,
this is That Brothers Podcast. I'm just a guest. I don't even know anything about sports or anything about entertainment. I'm just here.
It was just 8 seconds.
That's what she said. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, congratulations. Hats off literally to the Baylor Bears. I know it's been a long time coming when you talk about anything, reference anything about, you know, athletics and Baylor in the same sentence. But y'all come a long way. Honestly, I just assumed that the next, you know, title was going to come from the women's team just because of how much consistency we've seen from their program. But respectfully, they both did an amazing job, you know, fighting. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy surrounding the ending to the women's game, but that's a story for another day. Unfortunately for this guy sitting next to me or however this podcast show or however the editing portion of this podcast goes, the guy over here, he gets to celebrate for at least
either
another
on that
calendar
side or that side of me.
That side or that side. You get to celebrate for the next calendar year because your team, of course, won the title. So that's an amazing thing. And it wasn't even like it was a close game. Y'all beat the piss out them dudes. Like,
yeah,
say what you want about the, you know, box score, but it was effort from tip off to the ending buzzer. So it was good. So shout out to the Baylor Bears,
bro.
Man.
And like, you know, you expect your team to, you know, put up a fight, you know, win. Obviously, you're rooting for them, but for them to own the game from tip off to double zeros on the clock, man, that's just insane. I don't think anybody really predicted that. So, you know, obviously, team was celebrating, everybody, all the fans, obviously, me retweeting every single Baylor thing because, you know, this is their first championship ever for the men.
Yeah.
And like you had mentioned, like, it's always been about the women's team at Baylor. So shout out to the Baylor Bears. Just want to give a quick shout out to those guys off the top of the show. I just got the natty gear in yesterday. So put on the hat, wore the shirt to work. Like I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like I ain't never had nothing before. You know I am. You know I am.
For sure. All right, for sure. I wouldn't expect anything different.
Oh yeah.
Then let's go ahead and wrap this up.
You know
we have plenty of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Enough of me. we're leading it off with the Broncos, which is my team as well. Seahawks, Bucks, and Browns all deciding to stay at home for the offseason. They came out with these statements, Dane. And I'll read them. Like, it seemed like they came out in separate times, but they all pretty much same the same message.
Yeah, broke it. Yeah,
the one from the one from the Broncos, which is the Broncos were the first team to come out. Says playing in the NFL is a dream of our players who work tirelessly year round to perform in America's greatest game. With off-season programs starting in less than a week and without adequate protocols in place in order for us to return safely, we will be exercising our right to not participate in voluntary off-season workouts. So basically, they're saying that the protocols aren't up to par yet. And I'll say this, and I'll let you answer, Dane. We had Marcus Spears on a few weeks ago, and we specifically asked him the question. We said, how did he feel the NFL handled the COVID situation as far as, you know, mitigating and or protocols per se and everything that goes along with having games, getting games played. And he basically said he felt like the NFL did the best job that they could. He did have some arguments about other issues, but overall he said, you know, they did what they had to do. I was kind of surprised about these the teams coming out. And I mean, we all know how bad COVID is. Yes. We know somebody that's been affected by COVID. We know COVID is obviously affected, changed the entire world. It'll never be the same.
Ever.
Ever. What more can, and I'm asking this to you as well, what more can the NFL do to put protocols in place than what they've been doing?
They need to release a very strategic, a very transparent, very well thought out protocol for when there is an outbreak that exists or it takes place on a team. Because for some games, they got rescheduled and postponed. And for other games, teams were, they had to play without their star players at times. Seems a little bit suspicious, don't you think? So in my opinion, right, I mean, that's what they should have done. It should have been something very set in stone. The maybe an over or under amount of players that are, you know, that tested positive for COVID. Maybe let's say if there are at least three people that tested positive for COVID, then a particular game had to be postponed or whatever. But for some odd reason, some teams were given particular set of treatment and other teams weren't, which is, of course, it just looks a little funny in the light. Outside of that, I don't know what kind of situation would call for a bubble. We've already talked about how complicated that would be, or many of the guests that we've had that are that have a career in this sports entertainment and sports reporting arena. They've told us just how difficult it could possibly be to have a bubble of sorts, the same bubble that we've seen with the NBA because of the regions in which the NFL is spread out. And then, of course, the roster sizes are just they're not comparable. So I don't know. But of course, you're a billion-dollar industry. You have billions of dollars. You have plenty of resources. You don't pay for your stadiums. So there's got to be some way that they can find out to make this work instead of just sitting on their hands. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answers and I also don't have a solution, but I also know that it can't be the same way that they did it last year. Cause I don't think it was effective.
Right.
Fairness either.
One of the points you made that I definitely agree with was the inconsistency we saw last year. Huh?
So you don't agree with nothing else?
Did not say that, sir.
Loud message. Go ahead, man.
One of the great points you made was the NFL showed us inconsistency at times as far as, you know, some teams got their games postponed till they met certain criteria where others were forced to play. Example for the Broncos were forced to have a practice squad receiver play quarterback in a crucial season halfway through the season, more than halfway through the season. So certain protocols have to be met. I was reading from Mike Florio how this could be kind of a disadvantage to guys. And we kind of seen that at the beginning of last season. You know, there's always those practice squad guys that depend on the offseason, depend on preseason games to try to make the team. Like, and, you know, we have stories like Phillip Lindsay, who was undrafted proved himself in the offseason, proved himself in the preseason. Guys like that are going to suffer if, you know, if they go to all virtual kind of offseason program, because, you know, they use the time on the field. Obviously, they use the time in the film room to show what they know. But, you know, you play the game on the field. So those guys that are fighting for positions, fighting, you know, undrafted, those kind of rough gyms, is going to be tougher for them to kind of make the squad if they go all virtual for the offseason. And another point that was made was how those same kind of guys are asking teams if they could still come in person while some of the other players go virtual. So that's kind of an issue that's come up. How, like, the NFL, you know, COVID is still around. Like, so obviously, yeah, they're going to have to come out with some kind of protocol in place, something to show consistency like they hadn't shown in the previous years, man. Hmm.
Very well said. I agree with all of what you just said.
I hate you, man.
Next topic, please.
You know what? I feel like, no, I don't have a drop for you. I was going to put a drop. Oh, wait. I got one.
I'm not important enough. Damn!
Of course. That's how I feel. You take this next topic away.
Okay. So, there have been some very ugly numbers in the NFL. We've seen some very ugly numbers. Back in the day, and this is at all levels, we used to see what quarterbacks wearing number 20, see wide receivers, some of them wearing like 44. You had, which I love it, some defensive linemen wearing 80s. I love when defensive linemen wear 80s. Like, I love that. Like, I freaking love that. But, I mean, the proposed rule change about the numbers, I'm down with that. I've been all for that. It just sucks if you're a big guy, one of the big nasties right up front. They like to play. They like to spike the ball occasionally when a running back is, you know, rushes up the sideline for a touchdown. You know, they're part of the game. They're just as important as the skill players. But unfortunately, the rule change will not impact them. Well, it will impact them because we'll see the sad looks on their faces when they see their one of their favorite veteran wide receivers on their team that switched from number 82 to number 3. Like, That's got to be an unsettling feeling. But for most of the NFL, this should be pretty cool for the upcoming rookies that are going to be in the draft here in a few weeks. And, of course, we have – I'm pretty sure we're going to have a number of changes from guys that are, you know, seasoned veterans to second or, you know, third-year players. So I think it's cool. It's going to be fun. It's going to feel like college on Sunday. College games on Sunday is how I feel. But we're going to see some pretty cool things, some really good callbacks, if you will.
Right. I'm surprised you didn't say, and I was so surprised you didn't say something.
What do you mean by that?
So I thought you were going to say how the NFL loves this because it's going to be new players or old players in new jersey numbers, which means people are going to buy those new jerseys with those new numbers, which means the NFL gets that cha-ching.
You're talking about the capitalism that's associated with this rule change. See, brother, that's the problem with you. You only see the dollar signs. No, but for real, I didn't even think about that because I was so excited. You know, ain't that something? When it's something that you're not against, you won't bring up, you know, just the downsides and, you know, just you won't speak any bad on it. But of course, if it's something that you hate, you're going to be real vocal about it, which is just leaked out of my pores and the bias that I have about, you know, favoritism and numbers. I don't agree with it, but at the same time, people spent their hard earned money on my jerseys and I just don't want them to feel like they have to buy it. It's like, okay, well, don't change the jersey number. Simple as that. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, the players, although you want to argue, what do you want to argue about the percentages of which the players get from the jersey sales revenue or jersey revenue, they still get a piece of the pie. So if anything, it's a good look for them and it gives us a reason to, you know.
That's true.
Stimulate the economy. So me and Langston and the wife.
That's true.
We're going to be rocking some jerseys. I don't know which jersey we're going to give. We're going to be rocking somebody's jersey.
Yeah. I saw a tweet that said if Reggie Bush had had been able to wear number five, he'd have a hell of a career.
He tried. No, he tried, though. He was wearing it during, like, one of the not during preseason.
I mean, games. He wore it during preseason practice. During the training camps.
Yeah. And he petitioned for it, but the NFL denied his request. They denied his request, but that's not his fault, man. Reggie was before his time. That's in all honesty. You say what you want to say about the whole Heisman thing. As a former UT fan, like, Reggie was still the best running back that I saw with my eyes.
Same. Every Saturday, man, he was putting up a top 10 highlight. Best running
back I ever saw in college, yeah. It was ridiculous. Just the stopping on a dime, the jump cuts, the quickness, the vision. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see another Reggie Bush. And if we ever do see another Reggie Bush, thank God, because we need to bring some dominance and importance back to the running back positions. But we'll touch on that a little bit later.
Yeah.
A little bit later.
So, college on the Sunday. That's what you said. I like that. That sounds perfect. Next topic, man, is this drop is perfect for this. Because, like, bro, like, what? So, well, today we got a little bit more clarity. Right?
Before the clarity, it was much funner. It was way funnier
than now. All right. So what we're talking about, I know
ignorance.
The last few days, it came out that there was a picture of this guy. What is his name? DeVincent Spriggs came out, and his eye was all swolled up. But anyway, he had said that that Aaron Donald
like had grapefruit.
Punched him in the face, basically, right? So today, Casey White, an attorney hired by Donald to represent him following allegations levied against him Wednesday, told ESPN that Spriggs swung a bottle at Donald that grazed his head. That reminded me of Eddie Murphy. Grazed as he ducked before other people surrounding Donald stepped in. As he ducks, somebody from behind him grabs him to stop him from interacting with this guy, Mr. Spriggs. So he holds Aaron back in a sense. At that point, that's when people come to Aaron's aid and defend him by removing, so to speak, Mr. Spriggs from the area where he is punched and he is fighting. It's a mutual fight at this point between other individuals who Aaron does not really know. So basically some random dudes saw that Aaron Donald got hit with a bottle and
a friend of a friend, if you will.
He gotta know him, but that's crazy, man. How you hit Aaron Donald and then say he whooped you? That reminds me of that clip from Eddie Murphy stand up from Raw when he would say he was fighting the club with Daddy Terrio and he got sued.
Everybody sued me. It was a ball at the disco. Like,
I need money for my sprained eye. The ball, the light spun, creating a weird effect. Yeah, man, this just sounds like
$2 million for my sprained eye.
Sound like a traditional money grab. What you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, you got your face plastered all over the internet with a cantaloupe on the side of your forehead. You're gonna be grasping for straws anytime. But this probably was at the advice of whoever was representing him. Whatever high profile person was in the area, they had something to do with it. Let's see if what we can get out of these guys. But in these situations, the truth always comes out. Unfortunately, that man's reputation, whatever's left of it, that's what he has to deal with after all this blows over. But we all look forward to our little 5 minutes of fame. But I'm pretty sure if he knew it was coming, he probably wouldn't have responded the way he did. But, I'm sure there's more stuff that's going to come out about it.
Yeah. So I ask you this. So before it was the report that Aaron Donald just whooped him by himself.
Yeah.
Now after the report, it's, I just read the report before about him apparently hitting Donald first and getting beat up. Which is worse for that guy? What happened or what they said happened before or after?
Probably before. Because those memes, you're not going to outlast a meme. Like a year from now, this is going to come up somehow. And we're going to think about, man, 2021 was crazy. Y'all remember Aaron Donald knocked out old dude? Because you're not going to remember the actual truth of the story. You're going to remember the the myth of the story, what made the story larger than life. And that's that Aaron Donald barely grazed this dude with his pinky knuckle, and the dude's eyes swole up like I ain't never seen like before. It looked like like that scene from Hitch when he got, was it he had an allergic reaction. His, you know, his whole
yes,
or even better, like when Martin went toe to toe with Hitman Hearns, and he came out afterwards, and his head was like, bloop.
So his whole head was swollen. Yeah,
whole head was swollen. But I think it was worse before we got the actual Carfax and the evidence that came out. But you know, it is what it is. You just gotta, you know your surroundings and not be in the wrong place at the right time. Well, would that be the wrong place at the wrong time?
Don't try to fight Aaron Donald.
That's true. We've seen what this man does to double teams, to season, you know, right guards and left tackles. What the hell makes you think you random guy? What do you think you're going to do?
And we saw what he did on Sports Science.
Yeah. launched that brother 13 feet in the air. He's like, that's the furthest I've ever been thrown. I was like, hey. He keeps a log of how many times he's been beaten up, clip, picked man. Up, and thrown.
Oh my God.
I'm laughing too hard. Like, I've never seen that episode.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Only seen, I don't know, one of my favorite ones is the Beast Mode one.
That was a good one too. Yeah, man. Are you ready?
Yeah, man.
Here we go.
It's time for General Homeboy.
Hey. 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 Oh, that's clean.
That's clean.
You got your own second.
That's clean. That's clean. Hey. That's clean.
That's, hey, that's Dane's first time hearing it, audience.
I didn't know this was going to be a thing. Wow.
Our General Homeboy drop made by our boy, friend of the show, Keith. Keith, appreciate you, my guy. Keith. We got to play that one more time, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's time for General Homeboy.
I feel like it's just a disservice. I feel like I should be, you know, entering and, you know, I should be at the, I should be at arena with sparks in the background, like a bunch of lights in my name, and walking down like I'm about to go face off with Stone Cold Steve Austin or something. Like, that's what I feel like that should be.
No,
it gives me that
you're facing off against Adam Schefter.
Damn, I'm losing that every time. Still waiting on that Dez Bryant tape, by the way, man. Still waiting on it. So we have some pretty good stuff today. Well, I got some pretty good stuff. Two of these guys, you might have heard of one of them. I'm more than 100% positive you probably heard of one of them. First guy out of Coastal Carolina, Taron Jackson. He's a defensive end. Wow. So I don't know why. When you look at the tape and you look at his, you know, the stat sheet, he was like, okay, why is this guy underrated or overlooked or, you know, a sleeper? Like, why is I have no idea. I can't figure out. But this isn't really a strong defensive edge class. We don't have a Chase Young, you know, we don't have a Joey Bosa, we don't have a TJ Watt in this class.
That dominant presence.
Right. Not that I know of, at least. You know, there could totally be some guy, you know, that down the line that turns out to have a career like that. But we don't have that guy that could possibly go top 10. I don't believe we do. But if you're looking for somebody who's consistent, who has the production, who has the size, he's not as fast. He didn't test well at his pro day, which happens often. You know, this is a strange time. I'm not making excuses for anybody, but if you're a defensive end and you don't train very well, or if you don't perform very well at these pro days and in the numbers, it's a big turnoff to a lot of these numbers guys, because we all know, we'd hope that they validate everything that they have and everything they think of by watching the tape. But sometimes we notice that draft stock drops really low after a bad pro day. But anywho, what you're getting out of this guy, TFL machine. He's got double digit TFLs. He's a
TFL.
Of course, he's an All-American, a team captain 2 years in a row, as a junior and a senior. His hands are violent, Deontay. Think of somebody you know that works in construction. Hands are rough, right? Heavy hand and rough. I think this guy has heavy hands. I think he has very violent hands.
Callous, all that.
Yeah, it's calloused up. Like Chad Johnson always says that. That's why he eats the McDonald's as much as he does, because it builds some calluses. Anyway, he's very aggressive. I love his effort off the line. He's very quick. And the thing that stands out to him the most, I mentioned earlier about the TFLs, is just his instincts. He's the anticipation that he has coming off the line, reading plays. I just, for the life of me, maybe I'm just out of the loop, but basically a lot of the experts that I look up to, they all say this guy is, you know, a day three guy or you know, yeah, typically a day three guy, and I'm not sure why. But anywho, I'm not going to be surprised when this guy has a pretty good NFL career as somebody starting edge rusher. So look out for him. That's Teron Jackson out of Coastal Carolina. A lot of you Zach Wilson fans should know who he is. So anywho, moving on to the offense, the offensive side of the ball. So this guy, I wanted to go wide receiver, but I was like, you know what? We're 2 weeks out from the draft. We need to talk about some guys that are really underappreciated, underrated, and just overlooked. And that's one guy or one position in particular that's devalued. I'm speaking of no other than the running back position. And our guy who I have today, who I selected today, was Elijah Mitchell out of Louisiana. So Elijah Mitchell, okay. He was, of course, a wide receiver, or he's recruited as a wide receiver coming out of high school. And you can see it. He's really soft hands when given the opportunity to get the ball out of the backfield. He's a very patient runner. I love his vision. And what jumps out to me, and I haven't seen the guy that I'm about to bring up the comparison about, I haven't seen this guy in years. I haven't thought about this guy's name in years, not since probably since high school.
Okay. But
when I watch his tape, it reminded me of, man, why he remind me of somebody? And I was like, he reminds me of Ryan Matthews. You remember Ryan Matthews?
The running back, yeah.
Yeah, he's played for the Chargers. I mean, obviously there's a Broncos joke in there somewhere.
He wasn't all that. I got you though.
I'm not saying he was all that, but he was, you know, to come from school to
I was saying that because he was a Charger.
Oh, my bad. That went over my head. You know, I got my emotions, but I like Elijah Mitchell. and I don't know how many running backs are going to be drafted on day one or day two. I do know that that's where the NFL is going to, unless you're, you know, some sort of generational talent or you don't have a lot of mileage on you from college or wear and tear. And more than likely, you're not going to see the light of day until after like pick 20 or so. Unless, of course, you're the Dallas Cowboys and you pick somebody at fourth overall. But that's because we got one of the best running backs in the world, Deontay, from the Ohio State University, and Zeke Elliott. The running back position needs to be valued again, and I understand it. I don't understand the hate. If you're good, you're good. You should be drafted based on that merit, regardless of how many contracts you're going to get. If you're good, you're good. But anyways, I'm not a GM, but I am General Homeboy, and I'm out. Until next time.
Play the music.
It's time for General Homeboy.
Bro, I can dance. That is General Homeboy. Keith, thank you, Dane. Thank you, Keith, for the wonderful, Jesus. Wonderful audio, man. Man, when he sent me this, I was like, man, I want to share with you so bad. But I'm like, no, I'm going to wait.
Get a copyright on that. That's some heat right there, man. That's some heat. That's some
man,
heat.
Like, bro, you see how he added the draft selection? Like
right after you get picked. With the third overall pick. The 2021 NFL draft.
Man, Keith is also a cook, chef in the Houston area, and he's an artist. He got a album coming out. I'm gonna call it an album. Keith, if it's an album, I believe it is an album coming out at the end of this month. I'm gonna put all his
project. He got
information
a project
in the description.
That way you don't misquote.
Yeah,
you don't misquote.
Thank
he got
you.
A project coming out.
Thank you. Got a project coming out at the end of this month. I'm gonna put all his information in the description because he's always been a friend of the show, friend of us personally, and he's always supported the show. So and thank
cool,
you again,
dude.
Keith,
appreciate
for that,
you, man.
For putting that together for us, man. I'd like to also pat myself on the back, Dane, about something that I said a few episodes ago.
Oh, man.
Everybody listen.
Oh, here we go. Play it back.
I mean, he's I feel like he still has a lot left in the tank. He's 28 years old. He's proved, well, maybe not the last few years that he can stay healthy, but at that age, I mean, he's one of the youngest guys that are still available. And we've seen in the years past that he could be a freak on the field causing havoc. I think a team like Cleveland that has Myles Garrett coming off one end, and then if you have like Clowney coming in on the other end on passing situations, like if you're an AFC North quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger that doesn't really or really can't move, you know, that's going to be habit.
Ooh. Call me player, personnel, player. No, I don't hear like that.
Player personnel is that's I like that. Player personnel is that's what
no,
he is.
No, man. Hey, to those that don't know, Clowney, he signed with the Browns the other day. Like I was mentioning, I basically said it on episode 38, the rebrand, go check it out, that, you know, it's a fit. You got Myles Garrett. You're fearing Myles Garrett on the other side. Why not put another rusher like, hey, man, if we double team Garrett, we got a monster on the other side. You know, he's been unhealthy.
Yes.
But, you know, just bring him in on third downs. And what you got to lose? You know what I'm saying? Third and 15, third and 12. It's going to be scary hours, man. I don't, man. I ain't going to say it yet. Should I say it, Dane?
Go ahead, man. Do your thing.
Cleveland.
Ew.
I know. But Cleveland, man. I think.
You know that, man. Let me just, what you just said. First off, hats off to you in predicting that, like, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was.
Thanks, my guy.
But what you just said, the statement you just made, reminded me of when it's cold outside. Just picture this. 32 degrees outside. It may or may not be snowing outside. And you walking around. Let's say you were a bunch of your friends. You go at the mall, outside of the mall, right? And you're walking. And nobody's been to the gym. Yeah, to your knowledge, everybody's just, you know, put on some clothes and, you know, headed out. And you smell somebody musty. Like, how the hell you musty when it's cold outside? Like, that's how you know. Like, that's the facial expression I got when you said the Cleveland Browns and the same sentence as consistency and success and the upcoming season. Like,
I know it's
I'm
weird.
Not with that. Yeah, it's weird. Just like the smell that comes from somebody's armpits when it's cold
check
outside.
Check this out.
What's up?
This is why I say it.
Okay.
Little hurdles, right?
Okay.
Last year, they hadn't won a playoff game in how many years? Crazy 20, number of years, right?
Something like that.
They finally won a playoff game. Yeah, they won a playoff game. Baker Mayfield probably had his best season.
Yeah.
The defense got them to win some games. They didn't have Odell last year for most of the season, correct?
True.
They get Odell back. They got Landry. They got those two monsters at running back there.
Two-headed beast.
They got a defense. Yeah, Chubb and Hunt in the backfield. I know the Ravens are still there. I got Cleveland being better than Baltimore, man, and Pittsburgh. I just do. I won't say much more than that. I have them being one of the top AFC teams next year. That's it. I might have to clip this for later as well. No. Hey, if I get this right, Keith got to make me a drop too. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa,
give me a drop.
Whoa.
Give me a drop
too. Slow it down here. Let's slow it down here. Let's slow it down here. Okay. Let's slow it down.
No,
here.
Bro. I can't. Give me the air horn.
You can't rush creativity. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If not, then you're just gonna have to settle and hear my drop, my boy. You smell me?
You're right.
It's okay.
You're right.
It's all right.
Switching to NCAA news, my guy. You had mentioned earlier that this rule is a one-year rule. I think this is permanent, my guy.
Oh, it's permanent?
Yeah. So, I mean, they can use the rule once without penalty, but...
So this is going to be in effect more than
this is from now on. No, this is forever.
Okay.
After this. Maybe it's a one-time transfer rule, or like free transfer, but this is from now on.
Okay, I misunderstood that then. See, that's what that's
no, it's you're right, because I had to figure it out too. I was like making sure, but I'll read the article. How about this?
Man,
from ESPN.
LeVar Burton, man, you got to read nothing to me. What's wrong with you?
No, it's for the listeners, my guy. It's man, a podcast. You just
tell me, hey, the link is in the description. Yeah, all right, not playing. Go ahead, man.
See how Dane treats y'all audience? Nah, that's why we can't get enough listeners.
For the most part, I'm assuming everybody is adults. But you treating everybody like they got to come sit next to you and crisscross applesauce while you show them the page as you're reading.
No, it's easier where...
You see the red dog
where they don't have to... They don't have to go to the article themselves. They could just listen, and I could, you know, making it easy for our listeners.
ESPN's coming
anyway,
your ass.
The NCAA made it official Thursday, announcing the Division I Council had voted to approve a plan that will allow all college athletes to transfer one time as an undergraduate without having to sit out a season. The so-called one-time exception that has been available to athletes in most college sports for years will now also be available to football, men's and women's basketball, men's ice hockey, and baseball players who transfer from one Division I school to another. It's a big change, a long time coming, and it has some in college sports, especially football, worried about the potential for unintended consequences. Fewer scholarships available to high school recruits, power programs poaching players from small schools, rosters turning over quicker than coaches can keep up. And Dane, before we discuss it, let's hear from arguably one of the greatest college coaches of all time.
Nick, with the NCAA D1 Council passing the rule for the one-time transfer exception, how do you foresee that affecting, you know, how you build an incoming class? Does that require you to think about how many spots you save for transfers, you know, versus high school prospects?
You know, we have thought about a strategy that we'll use. You know, you've heard me speak about this before, but now that it is a rule, we're going to adapt to it and make it an advantage for us. I think what's going to happen, as you see happen in a lot of leagues, you know, the good players go to a good team and the bad players leave good teams because they're not playing. So is that going to make the rich get richer? I don't know. You can decide that. But we'll only like look for transfers that can really that are going to help our team be better. So that means we have to have a need for them. They have to be better than the guys that we have in the program right now at their position, and so. We'll be selective in how we choose guys. We're still going to recruit quality players that we can develop in the program. I don't think it's going to change our philosophy on that. Because if we save spots to be able to do this, then what happens with the guys that leave your program? You just replace them with guys from other programs who probably... I don't think we're going to have our best players on our team want to leave Alabama. I mean, we do a great job here of helping players develop, be more successful in life. Lots of player development. You know, most guys that have left here call back 100 times wanting to come back. All right. So I don't think because we do such a good job academically with our guys, career development program, we've done a really good job and have a good track record of graduating players, developing guys to play at the next level. So I don't think our good players are going to be leaving, but I think we'll be able to get some good players to join us when we have room to do that.
He was stunned a little bit.
Yeah, he was. No, it's a humble thing to say, though. Like, you would expect in a story, the storyline of a movie, you would expect the villain, right? The guy that never takes any losses to be, you know, startled or scared at such a rule, right? But dude's got so much lax and so much swag behind him. He says, yeah, this is going to be great for us because we're actually going to find the great players and bring them to our, you know, bring them to our campus while other teams are just going to go after great players who actually just were cut because they were bad. So that's a flex. But that just adds to the
couldn't make the team. Yeah,
true. But that just adds to the legacy of Nick Saban. He's the salesman, you know. There's a reason why consistently he's been beating everybody's ass year in and year out since we were in what, middle school, high school. Is the recruiting?
Yep.
It all starts with the recruiting.
Except for
the
NFL, but
yeah. Oh yeah. Ooh. We ain't talking about that. We ain't gonna talk about.
change the subject, please.
Get in the balls. But it's the reason why he's been an immovable object in the NCAA. So we'll see if the other organizations or other programs take advantage of this. It's going to be super dope to see a legit free agency, even if it's a one-time thing in college football. This is going to be cool. This is going to be cool. This is going to be fun.
One thing I did think about is in one of the articles I read, Dane, they definitely called it a college free agency, and that's what it is. But yeah. I hearken back to the conversation we had with Coach Mosley about, you know, the transfers and kids not dealing with adversity. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. And, you know, the transfer portal has already been like huge.
Controversial. Like,
now more than ever, I think, I don't know the exact number. I don't have it in front of me, but the transfer portal is like a crazy percentage compared to the total number of athletes in general. So it's just insane right now. But I think it is about time to give players some of that advantage. Isn't the word I'm looking for. Maybe you can help me. Maybe it is advantage. I'm just comparing it to how people give the argument as far as the college players not how they're students and like this goes back to the pay for play thing. But if you think about a coach that gets a contract and leaves the school
whenever they want to,
there's no penalty for that coach.
No.
Right.
And sometimes his contract gets
bought out.
The new campus buys. Yeah, exactly. The boosters are hooked. Yeah. Hook that up.
Yeah.
You don't hear nobody.
His contract gets bought out. And he ain't got to pay that.
In turn, you see 10. If it's football, you might see 10 or 15 guys lose a scholarship or a spot. Basketball, lesser, but of course the impact is still there. A guy that earned a scholarship with a regime, that particular regime moves on and they're left in the wind. We've seen that on Last Chance U.
Yeah.
So I think more, and I didn't think of this until now, but this is going to give some refreshing opportunities to some FCS guys as well as some D2 guys to, you know, try to, you know, get the opportunity that they probably didn't imagine ever that they would ever get is to, you know, get to the D1. We might see it. We might not see it, but the door is open and I'm sure that there's some hungry athletes out there. We're going to hear some storylines about, I don't know how soon this is going to start. Do you recall reading about the timeline about how soon this will start?
Let me see.
And then put you on the spot.
They approved it. Let's see. Starting next September. Mm. So this September 2021.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So coaches, I know coaches, like they have to change. I mean, this is not just football, basketball, all the sports have to change the way they recruit. It might not be as much opportunities for the high school guys. That's the tough part. But it'll be interesting to see, like you said, like how this college kind of free agency thing will change. It's already changed college landscape. And we think we're going to see a little bit more changes as far as this and then pay for play down the line, you know, whenever they get that situated and all that. But, man, times are changing.
This is true. Hopefully for the better, for the good.
Yep. I don't have a drop for the nerdy news segment. I hate that. But before I get to the nerdy news segment, going to give a shout out to the 2-for-1 special podcast. Two brothers, Randall and LJ, talk everything from video games to anime. I listen. Those guys are funny and they know what they're talking about. They have you thinking, have you laughing, and be sure to tune in to the 2-for-1 special podcast on Apple and Spotify. Now, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, bro.
Spoiler alert.
Man. Oh, yeah. Dang it. You're right. Spoiler alert.
If you have not seen. Cut it off.
Yes. There you go. You can just end the podcast. But if you end it here, please make sure to subscribe and leave us a rating review on Apple Podcasts. But if you have seen The Falconer and the Winter Soldier, episodes 4 and 5, man, what 5? Five was probably the most emotional episode. Like, this show in general, Dane, has been so emotional. And even if you go back to WandaVision, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of people were expecting a lot of action. I know I was in both shows. We've seen some action, but they're definitely like therapy sessions for the characters.
Yeah. These are guys and gals from the old team that everyone else has a pretty much the success story, and they're left with trauma.
Yeah.
Confronting the trauma that they have to live with because of important individuals that are no longer there that were supposed to be beacons of light and hope for their journeys. Yeah. So with Wanda, of course, with, you know, Vision no longer being here, her losing him, three times she lost that dude. Yeah, she lost him 3 times. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have no idea where the hell Cap is. Like, we don't know. I think the idea is that he's wandering somewhere around there, old somewhere, but this particular version of Cap is gone. Of course, we might get an alternate timeline Cap in the future, mm-hmm. by way of a cameo or something, but Cap ain't walking through those
multiverse
doors. They're dealing with the loss of someone that either paved the way for them or someone that they have some emotional ties to based on the experiences that they've had, whether by relationship, you know. So this is what we have.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's kind of ironic when you talk about traumas, is because that was Sam's primary occupation. When he met up with with his character in Winter Soldier, he was basically a counselor, if you will. Bingo.
I got that in my notes too.
Oh, yep. I knew because I watched it yesterday. Me and Langston were bored, so we watched Winter Soldier yesterday. But he was a counselor, you know, leading group therapy sessions with, we're assuming here, veterans that have, you know, come back to civilian life and they've gone through their own, you know, journeys and traumatic experiences, and they're trying to unpack that and move on and use those experiences, use these new revelations to have a regular, normal as possible life again. So this is kind of interesting seeing him put
PTSD
on that role.
PTSD, yeah, dealing with all that.
Yeah,
correct.
Seeing him put on that lens, because we've seen him, mm-hmm. you know, coaching up and breaking down walls, especially when he was talking with Flag Smasher girl name? I forgot her name.
Carly.
That's her name. He was talking with Carly. He got all comfortable and, you know, sit on the table, and she was, you know, opening up to him. And of course, Captain Butthead, you know, strode through the doors, ruining things. So, you know, it is what it is. Great value, Cap.
Yeah. Great value, Cap.
But shout out to him, Kurt Russell's kid, because he makes you like hate this dude's guts. So that's a
phenomenal.
Hell of a
phenomenal.
He's doing a real good acting job.
Yes. Like, phenomenal, man. Like, let's stand up for him.
I can't stand this dude, because, man.
You know? Right? He makes you hate him. Like, that's the epitome of what you want the actor to do, to make you hate the character right. in real life.
He's doing,
you know what
his
I'm saying?
Job.
But yeah, pick up at the end of episode 4, man. His homeboy Battlestar dies at the hands of Carly with a massive punch. That was crazy. I did not think he was dying there. At that point, he had already taken the super soldier serum. So, you know, he's finna lose his, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Goes out, kills homie with the shield.
I don't know if you want to call it killing homie with the shield. It was so much more than that. So barbaric. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh. It's disgusting. Sorry, my bad. Go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off.
He destroys homie with the shield. And
innocent homie, by
you know, that symbol of him at the end of episode 4 with the bloody shield is just
iconic.
It's a perfect iconic shot in a crazy way about, you know, you could compare it to what's going on in America now as far as blood. You know, you see it every day when you wake up in the news. And I think the director or one of the producers were talking about how this show is going to represent a lot of what we see in the world today.
Double entendre on that. So in addition to it mirroring society for what we're seeing right now in 2021, there's also a callback to that very scene of him getting, you know, decapitated by the shield. Of him saying that he couldn't believe that he used to look up to Captain America. You remember that when he was in the graveyard with
Yeah.
girl?
Yeah.
He said, I used to look up, believe it or not, I used to look up to Captain America.
Died at his own, his own shield.
Sure enough, he was looking up to him again. I mean, it was not, you know, it wasn't Captain America. It was, you know, great value in Captain America. But, you know, it was just how that came full circle. I'm sure that wasn't their intent, but it was just like, what a tangled web we have here.
To go along with that, the emotional toll in episode 5, man, one of my favorite parts is when Sam went to talk to Isaiah Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
And we find out the real story about what happened with him back in the day when he was the so-called Captain America or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you realize this, Dane, but the same stuff that he was saying of how he went and, you know, his men got trapped, you know, prisoners of war. Mm-hmm. And he described the story of how he went to get the guys, brought them back. That's the same thing Steve Rogers did in the first Captain America. And Steve, the white Captain America, got the Medal of Honor. He, you know, he got praise and all that.
Which isn't Steve's fault. It's just the nature of the society.
While this guy, you know what I'm saying? What happened to the black guy? He got put in prison. He got branded.
He said it the best.
Got killed, per se. So
they erased me and my history, but they've been trying to do that for 500 years or something like that. Something that effect. They erased my history. Yeah, they erased my history, but they've been trying to do that for 500 years, is what he said. So it's like, sheesh.
And I think it's really, really important that, you know, you see a lot of people. I think we talked about this a few episodes ago, Dane. A lot of people that, you know, I don't want politics in my entertainment. I don't want, you know, but
don't make everything about race, Deontay. Jeez. You know, that R word makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Hey, man. Hey, it's the truth, what's going on.
It's just funny because I don't think people understand that sometimes how's that saying goes? Is it art imitates life or life imitates art or something like that? But
yeah,
that's,
oh, I got a perfect quote for that.
Hit it up. Let me hear it.
Man, The godfather of Marvel, Stan Lee, said it himself. Take a listen.
Hi, heroes. This is Stan Lee coming at you. Want you to know, Marvel has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window. That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin. The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister. And that kid walking by, hey, who knows? He may have the proportionate strength of a spider. We're all part of one big family, the human family, and we all come together in the body of Marvel. And you, You're part of that family. You're part of the Marvel Universe that moves ever upward and onward to greater glory. In other words, Excelsior.
Freaking Stan Lee said it, man. Like, Stan Lee, R.I.P., man. But, like,
R.I.P.
to people that always, you know, like, it's you can't avoid it. You can't run from the issues. A lot of people like to run from the issues.
Right.
Like, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Stan Lee said it. Like, it's going to be in your art.
And unfortunately,
deal with it, man.
If it's something that makes you uncomfortable, maybe you got some soul search you need to do, man. If something
take a look in the mirror for sure.
Something that isn't calling you a racist or calling you out for bigotry. Like, if it's the finger's not pointed at you for what you're seeing being depicted on TV, there might be something that you need to do some soul searching. Maybe something wrong with you if you have an issue with it. Unfortunately, the entertainment that we consume nowadays, for it to have some sort of substance, for it to have some sort of value, some sort of meaning, some sort of reason why we continue to watch it, there has to be some underlying themes, and themes they're only going to be based off of what we see in, you know, everyday life. And for some of us, fortunately, a lot of that is associated with the shortcomings of America from the past 500 years. So, you know, I think acknowledging is something that makes you uncomfortable is the first step, but the second step is, you know, doing a little bit of digging and understanding why that makes you feel uncomfortable, because maybe that's something on your character that needs to be built. So, you know, another day, another dollar, another person crying out, you know, pulling the race card. Why you guys are pulling the race card? Like, we're not. We're watching. We're observing the content, man. So
right. Couldn't have said it better, bro. Episode 6, the finale next week, man. I think it's going to be fire. What, any predictions?
Obviously, I'm hoping we get to see what this new suit looks like.
Man, bro, this suit, it's about to be fire.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. Two, did you expect to see? I need to find out for my own suspicions, because the wife, she kind of alluded to it episode 4, that she kind of didn't trust Sharon. And I was like, the wife has been spot on. We've been watching shows the past few weeks. The wife has been spot on with her anticipation and her, you know, estimations about what's going to happen. So maybe
Sharon got to be the power broker.
Yeah,
bro.
She might be the power broker, bro. Like, and if she isn't, she working for that fool. Like,
or a Skrull, but I don't know if they would bring Skrulls into this. You think they bring Skrulls into the ground? Like, this show's been so grounded and, like, you know, but
I didn't get any whiff of her being a Skrull because of when the Skrull was imitating Nick Fury, when it was imitating old dude from Captain Marvel. They had an aggressive trait about them, like a short-tempered type of thing. And we haven't seen that from her yet. So that's the only thing that makes me think that she's not a Skrull. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, I don't know if you know about this reference, but how do you feel about seeing Elaine show up in the middle of this episode?
Seinfeld. From Seinfeld?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
It was kind of out of place.
I had to Google her name to see what she was in Marvel Comics. So, like, I kind of got understanding.
Yeah.
Like, apparently that specific character, I don't know her name, De La Fontaine or something. She's played, like, multiple characters in Marvel, so she can be this character or this one. I'm not sure. But
right.
I do think they're going to use her for the Thunderbolts for General Ross. I think she could be working General Ross trying to get John Walker to be part of Thunderbolts. For those that don't know, the Thunderbolts is like kind of like the Marvel's version of Suicide Squad. That makes sense. They do crazy missions, but under the government sanction, all that kind of stuff. But
so you remember, I doubt that they're going to be connected that way, but, you know, Jessica Jones and her sister, they were at the RAF too. They're serving time at the RAF too. So, I mean, obviously I don't know.
Bro, I wonder who's all at the RAF right now.
Bruh.
Villains wise. the RAF got to be lit right now.
You think they got,
turning up at the RAF.
They might be. But then again, think about this. Do we think Killmonger is alive? Do we think Eric Killmonger is alive?
Yeah.
Think of all the tech that we have in Wakanda. Or come on, say why we have Wakanda. Could, like, I'm like it's around the corner. Like, hey, maybe we went to Wakanda last week.
They might, you know, who knows what they who knows what they might do since I know Black Panther 2 had to get changed.
Like start filming,
you know,
with in everything July.
With Chadwick, but yeah. I mean, they could bring him back and make him a good guy. I don't know if I would like that though.
Yeah,
I like Michael B. Jordan as an actor, but I know some stories just have to have an ending. I wouldn't like him coming back.
I was thinking just in terms of him possibly being locked up at the raft too. So that's how I was, all the villains that possibly could be at the raft.
I'm thinking of the villains that, I mean, who else did they capture that would be at the raft?
I mean, Zemo's
everybody
heading
died,
there.
Right? All the villains died now that I'm thinking about it.
Zemo's heading there. You can see old dude that was,
if we're talking just MCU.
Yeah. Zemo's heading there. Old dude that was the head of S.W.O.R.D. Mm-hmm. That they arrested in WandaVision, he might be over there.
Okay. I feel like all the villains died. Am I tripping? Like all out of all the movies, Red Skull's on that
planet.
That
we know of. There could be other stories that are coming out that we don't know what's going to happen to those villains. Like maybe we get backstories after the fact.
You're right.
Maybe. I don't know. Just wishful thinking. I mean, I don't know. We just don't have enough villains that people are aware of that for them to run a successful Thunderbolts, unless they're going to do it in reverse, show us the Thunderbolts and then give us their backstories afterwards. So, I mean, who knows? But I'm not tripping on how they do it. I just need it to happen.
For sure. I think it's down the pipeline. But yeah, man, episode 6, definitely going to be fire next week. We will talk episode 6, the finale, with my guy Dex and the One Take Podcast. One Take Pod, they go by. Funny guys, follow those guys, subscribe to their podcast. We're all going to hop on together and do episode together so you can catch our finale recap with them. You have not watched Invincible yet, this newest episode.
Nah.
But let's,
it was dope, though.
It was dope. Every episode is dope. That's what I wanted to just talk to you about, man. Bro, this show, first of all, for the listeners, if you don't know what Invincible is, it's a adult version, or should I say cartoon version, of The Boys. If you've watched The Boys on Amazon Prime, the superhero adult version of superheroes.
Or I'll do you one further. It's basically just like the DC animated universe. Anybody who's watched them knows that they have some R ratings, some non-rating ratings, if that's a thing. But there's a lot of gore, there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of cursing, of course. So if you're squeamish, make sure you you know, turn that off and don't watch it. But if you're accustomed to the DC animated universe, which I know Deontay is not, because he probably still hasn't finished the movie line like he's supposed to.
I was waiting for that.
But anyways, if you enjoy comic book movies, TV shows that are adapted off of comic books, you'll love this show. This one, of course, is an animated version starring your boy Glenn from Walking Dead.
Yeah, so many great actors and actresses voice. One thing I do like, I wanted to tweet about this, but I couldn't phrase it right. You ever got a good tweet, but you don't know how to phrase it right? You don't want to sound stupid?
No.
Anyway, I like the feature that Amazon.
I just tweeted, and if I sound stupid, I deal with the consequences.
The feature that Amazon Prime has, or video, where you pause it and it shows you which actors and actresses are in the scene.
The X-ray.
Oh, is that what it's called?
I didn't know. You're looking for,
anyway,
brother.
But yeah, that's dope. So I found out today, old boy from Heroes voices the robot that plays Siler in Heroes.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
No. I hate you, man. Anyway, Invincible's dope.
That's homie from Spock. Spock from Star Trek.
Yeah, he
man.
Plays Spock as well.
J. Jonah
Great
Jameson.
Actors and actresses in this show. Yeah, J. Jonah Jameson.
Zaza Beats.
Yeah. And it's the creator, Robert Kirkman. Oh. Creator of The Walking Dead, too.
Oh,
so
girl.
You know it's dope.
The wife. She was on that show, the doctor show my wife watches.
Show Grey's called. Anatomy.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that's her. Let me not misquote myself. Hold on. Let me do a quick Google. I don't want to come off like a dumbass if that's not her.
Oh, I thought you said you don't care.
Something like that.
I thought you said you don't care if you sound stupid.
What are we talking about? No, I don't care. I just don't want to sound ignorant. I'm assuming that, oh, just because she's in, she has a background that she, you know, she, her ancestors possibly came from this part of the world, that you can just assume that that was her that is, you know, playing the voice.
I got you, bro. I got you, bro.
Because I don't know where she is from. Oh, okay. So she has Korean parents. Okay. Her parents are Korean. So
what's her name?
Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's definitely her. It's Sandra or Sandra. Oh,
but yeah, man, check Invincible out. It's a dope show on Amazon Prime. I think episode 6 just dropped, so we got time to catch up. And then we'll start talking about it more.
You don't gotta ask one of your friends to borrow the password. Yeah. You can look at it.
Yeah, and then Dane, last thing we'll talk about before we get out here, man. F9, we're going to space. Bro, they really going... First of all...
I didn't watch that bullshit.
Oh, you didn't watch the trailer?
I ain't watched that crap, man. I seen the trailer. You know, videos autoplay on Twitter? I scrolled right past it as quick as I possibly
bro,
could.
Bro, it was the longest trailer in the history of trailers. It was almost a 4-minute trailer.
You already know what the movie's about.
Bro, why are they going to space?
I'm good. They should have kept that in the draft.
Ludacris and Tyrese are in a spaceship in spacesuits. I don't think. Wait. Anyway,
I avoided that trailer like the plague. It's disgusting.
Yeah, you put in the notes. Oh, hell no. Like another that. One? I died at that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you was typing up the notes, I was like, wait, there ain't no way in hell. Like, ain't no way in hell. And I was like, ugh.
Oh man, dang. Another successful episode, my guy. Appreciate you so much. Appreciate the listeners for tuning in. The Duo Sports and Stuff podcast, digital streaming platforms, episode 41. Be sure to subscribe. Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. On Apple, please leave a review, man. We need those reviews. We need those ratings. Help people get to our show. It means so much. It means so much. Air horns before we get out of here. Dan, anything you got to want to say before you leave?
Why? What was the purpose of that?
There was no purpose. I just like air horns.
Why? Man, I swear, bro. Anywho. Y'all boys, take it easy. Man, it's, yeah, man. Oh, shout out to my cousin, Diary, man. He's out there doing his thing, 100-meter dash in the Texas head and reading. So... sophomore out there, man. Running against grown men. What can I say, man? It's a family thing, you know? Runs in the DNA. Except for me. That's the whole speed thing. That skipped me. I mean, I got short area quickness, but that was it. But everybody else got long speed. Look, it's either everybody else in my family got long speed or everybody's, like, tall.
One or the other.
Ronde was, like, 6'4", 6'5". Uncle's fast. He ran a 10'3 in high school. Auntie got hurdle records.
And then there's you, Dane Beasley. I'm Deontay Epps. We're the duo. Yeah. Check us out, man. Tell a friend. Tell a friend's friend. Tell that friend to tell that friend about the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. We'll see y'all in the next one.